Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 post-earnings conference call of Larsen Products Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Apurva Shah from PhillipCapital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Renju. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Larsen Products Limited. Today we have Mr. Rohan Sehgal, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO of the company, to take us through the results and answer all your questions. Now I hand over the conference to Mr. Rohan Sehgal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, and a very warm welcome to everyone present on the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call for Larsen Products Limited. Along with me are Mr. Santosh Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer and Company Secretary for Larsen Products Limited, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. Let me begin with the financial performance for the quarter and few other highlights I would want to share. Our revenues for Q1 FY23 were flat as compared to Q1 FY22. Generally, in our industry, Q1 tends to be the weaker quarter, and we have observed similar trends for FY23. Only exception to this was Q1 of FY22, where there was a sudden surge in the demand for products related to COVID testing on the back of the second wave of the pandemic. However, our sales for the conventional products used in research, pharma, and academia were affected due to intermittent lockdowns across the countries and slowdown in the overall economy in Q1 FY22. Our full year FY22 had 15% revenues related to COVID, of which two-thirds was skewed towards the first half of FY22, and hence we had a high base for Q1 FY22. I'd like to point out that COVID-related revenue contributed significantly to the sales in Q1 FY22, but it's now negligible in this quarter. It is worth noting that despite losing COVID-related revenue, we were able to maintain a flat performance because our conventional business, which had been impacted by COVID, returned. When you compare on a like-to-like basis, our conventional business has witnessed YoY growth during this quarter. Let me touch on the demand scenario. We have been witnessing steady demand across the product categories and are seeing huge inquiries for our products across industries. With new products in the pipeline, our pan-India reach, and Larsen being a trusted brand across the life sciences community, we are optimistic of the demand scenario going forward. Our gross margins have been lower as compared to Q1 FY22, majorly due to the inflationary commodity environment on account of supply chain disruptions and geopolitical tensions due to the Russia-Ukraine war. Our margins were impacted as raw material, freight, and other input costs have risen at an unprecedented rate. Gross margins were also impacted due to change in product mix since we have more than 300 product segments and 1,700+ SKUs. We have, however, taken price hikes for FY23, which comes into full effect with a quarter lag. Many a time, customers accept the price hikes after 45 days to 60 days period, and hence the full effect will be visible for the balance 9 months of FY23. On the EBITDA front, we have been constantly investing in strengthening our senior management team in various areas of sales, production, and other important functions, which has led to increased employee costs. We have also been investing in manpower for our upcoming facilities, for which revenues will start coming from the next financial year. We have also been expanding our footprints in global markets by participating in various fairs and exhibitions across the globe, which has entailed higher sales promotion marketing and traveling expenses for the current quarter. However, these investments will reap benefit as revenue starts kicking in. As mentioned in my earlier conversations that the industry size in the export market is around 50,000 crores, and we are just like a drop in the ocean. Hence, with our dedicated efforts with the right products of global standards and trust and the brand created for our products, we are confident of gaining market share in the exports market. For this, we will have to expand our capabilities and presence in the export market by incurring some initial costs in terms of marketing and improving distribution channels. Let me give an update on our ongoing CapEx. Our upcoming manufacturing facility in Parchla, West Bengal, is on track, and we are expanding our manufacturing for both existing and new products. PCR and cell culture are the new products that we will include in our basket through these facilities, which has seen increased demand in the domestic as well as export markets. In addition, we intend to build a new fulfillment center in Amta, West Bengal, to consolidate our warehouse operations at one centralized location for synergies and cost. We also intend to do backward integration in the manufacturing process at the same location by constructing an in-house sterilization center for captive consumption. To conclude, I would like to reiterate that with the large product basket of global standards, our deep domain knowledge in the labware industry, long-standing relations with our dealers and distributors in the domestic market, and expanding presence in the global market, we are rightly placed to capitalize on the huge runway of growth in the labware industry for the next 5 to 10 years. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO for Tarsans, for his comments on the operational and financial highlights.
Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q1 FY23 earnings call. We have uploaded our latest investor presentation on the stock exchange for our Q1 FY23 results. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. On the revenue front, revenue from operation for Q1 FY23 stood at 68.6 crores as compared to 69.2 crores in Q1 FY22, a degrowth of 1% on YOY basis. As mentioned by Mr. Rohan Sehgal, our revenue were impacted due to high base of COVID revenue in Q1 of FY22, which had impacted sales from our conventional business. But if one would analyze, despite negligible sales with respect to COVID in Q1 FY23, we still maintained our revenue run rate and have grown in our conventional product range. Revenue from export stood at 20 crores, a growth of 14%, and domestic sales degrew by 6% on YOY basis. For Q1 FY23, export sales contributed around 29% and domestic sales contributed around 71%. On the gross profit level, our gross profit for Q1 FY23 stood at 54.3 crore rupees as compared to 56.7 crore rupees in Q1 FY22, a degrowth of 4%. GP margin for Q1 FY23 stood at 79.1% as compared to 82% in Q1 FY22. However, in absolute terms, our gross profit was down by 2.4 crore rupees approximately. Gross margins were impacted due to change in product mix, higher raw material cost, freight and other ancillary costs with respect to procurement on the back of supply chain disruption. At the EBITDA level, EBITDA for Q1 FY23 stood at 31 crore rupees as against 37 crore rupees in Q1 FY22, a YOY degrowth of 15%. EBITDA margin for Q1 FY23 stood at 45.4% as compared to 53.2% for Q1 FY22. EBITDA margins were lower on account of our investment in manpower cost for future growth prospects. Also, higher sales of sales promotion, marketing and traveling expenses to tap the export geographies had impacted the EBITDA margin. This will however be compensated once we see the higher growth from our export revenue. On PAT front, profit after tax for Q1 FY23 was lower by 4.5 crore rupees and stood at 20.3 crore rupees, which indicates a degrowth of 18%. PAT margin for Q1 FY23 stood at 29.6% and for Q1 FY22 it was 35.9%. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question comes from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So Rohan, during the fourth quarter, you guided for a volume growth of around 20-25% for the whole year from existing capacities, and had indicated that you'd be able to sustain the growth momentum achieved during FY22. However, in light of the reported 1Q revenue, achieving that would imply over 30% organic revenue growth for the rest of the year, given negligible share of COVID revenues. Do you believe there is enough demand momentum to support that, especially given leading diagnostic chains have indicated sluggishness in their non-COVID revenue?
Sure. Thanks, Karan. So the first quarter has been almost flat, but if you look at the first quarter, it's been a very strong quarter for us because we've seen COVID revenues almost falling off and going close to zero, but we've seen a very strong demand for our conventional businesses. And at this point of time, I will not be able to speak about the whole year, but our entire product basket and the demand outlook outside COVID testing looks very strong and robust, and we are optimistic about the performance for the remainder 9 months of FY23.
Sure. Yeah, is it also possible to understand what was the share of COVID revenue in the first and second quarter of last year?
So I believe that we did about, out of 300 crores, about 45 to 50 crores was directly linked to COVID, and about 65% of that was linked to the first half, primarily the first 5 months. That is because we got the largest wave of COVID when the country was almost semi-open. It was very different to the first quarter of FY21, where the country was in complete lockdown, and hence the number of cases and the number of testing was not high as the first quarter of FY22. So we witnessed dramatic amount of testing, and it was the highest probably quarter in the last 8 quarters which we have witnessed in COVID for COVID revenue. But on an overall basis, I believe 65-odd% of that 50 crores came in the first 5 to 6 months of FY22.
Great, sure. And second, one of your competitors has recently raised around 500-odd crores to expand their lab-led presence, both organically and inorganically. Given even other lab-led players are expanding aggressively, how do you look at this in terms of, the capacity overhang that this would create, especially in the domestic market?
So I look at it very positively. I think the industry is receiving, a lot of people are looking into this industry and it's receiving a lot of recognition. I think with more investments, this industry is slated to grow in the future. And we believe that Carson's is well positioned, irrespective of the number of competitors, to grow very, very strongly, both in the domestic as well as international markets. I think we've laid down our plans and strategies for the future very, very meticulously, and we are very optimistic about it.
Okay. And in terms of, the raw material pricing, if you can give us some sense if the prices have started cooling off, and what's your sense on, the price hikes which became effective last quarter. Do you expect the gross margins to sustain at these levels or possibly improve if raw material prices were to start reversing?
So I think most of our raw material purchases are from Europe and US. Europe is going through a tough period at this point of time. But the good part about the raw material price hikes is that they're not really start cooling off, specialized grade resins what we are importing, but we don't see further hikes coming in. So things have been fairly stable over the last 3 to 4 months after it has reached its peak. However, we see certain other costs such as packaging and paper gradually getting a little better and cooling off. So that's the positive, for the company moving forward in terms of input costs. And in terms of gross margin, I believe that our gross margins in Q1 are exactly in line with what we are looking at. And even moving forward in our previous calls, we've always maintained, mid to high 70s. And I think we are on track to do that for the full year.
Great. And lastly, on your CAPEX program, so how much CAPEX have you incurred at Panchkula and existing facilities by end of first quarter, and how much is remaining for the rest of the year?
Sure. Karan, in Panchila, we already planned everything. We already given the estimation of about to be 500 crore approx running CapEx. Out of that, we already incurred 250 crore rupees. Panchila, on a Panchila front, we already seen a significant progress, and the CapEx plan and all the construction is going as per our plan.
But can you quantify in terms of the amount which you would have incurred in first quarter and for the rest of the FY 2023?
We can only say that in the first quarter overall, the major CapEx has been done in Panchla, and overall, in first quarter, we have paid about to be 28 crore rupees.
Okay, great. Thanks, Rohan. Thank you, and all the best.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Praveen Sahay from Edelweiss Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So, sir, this COVID revenue is a part of a domestic only, or there is some in export as well?
COVID revenue is a part of the entire company, which includes the total revenue, which includes domestic as well as international business. But the focus on domestic would be higher than international because domestic business, the supply chains and deliveries are instant. In international business, it's about 55 days-60 days because 99% of our international business is sea freighted and not air freighted.
Okay. And the seasonality you talk about for the first quarter, it's for across your business, international as well as domestic. The first Q is used to be a lower.
The first Q, the seasonality of the business is more towards the domestic business because it's for Indian markets, it is quarter one, but for international markets, it is quarter two. But, historically and even now, the international business is just about close to one-third of our entire business.
So, basically, I had, you know, seen that, in the last four quarters, prior to the first Q, you had done a far superior numbers in the export. So what exactly happened if I look at on a sequential basis for, you know, export revenue, 20-odd crore versus 25-odd crore? Is that a seasonality or, there is a slowdown or something there also you are seeing?
So, we do not see any slowdown in the overall business of Larsen, both in domestic as well as international markets. Of course, there is a slowdown in the testing part of the business, which is the COVID-related part of the business. But at this point of time, looking at international business on a quarter-on-quarter basis would not probably be the most accurate measure because of supply chain disruptions. So we could have a lot of orders ready in our warehouses, ready to be shipped, but cannot be billed because of container availability issues. So container availability issues have got slightly better from when we last spoke in our last earnings calls, but still continues to be a major problem globally.
Okay. Thank you for this clarification. The next question is related to the gross margin, and here as well, on the sequential basis, I've seen some improvement. So, you are saying to maintain your gross margin over here?
So we, as I've always stated, you know, somewhere in the mid- to late 70s is where we expect our gross margins moving forward, and I think we are well positioned to achieve that.
It is very difficult to compare the gross margin on a sequential basis, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, because we are having about to be 1,700 SKU, split it over 300 product segment. So gross margin can differ quarter to quarter. But our vision is to maintain the gross margin at mid-70s.
Right. Right. And lastly, on the domestic business, the volume growth numbers, can you able to give?
See, on the domestic business side, on a volume-wise, we don't track on a volume basis because we have different SKUs, right? And with a different volume, right? For example, we sell from 0.10 to 5 lakh rupees, kind of, you know, finished goods. So it is very difficult to give any kind of, you know, data on a volume front, but of course, on a value front, we track everything.
Okay, just trying to understand whether this 6% of a degrowth is because of a volume or is because of a realization?
No, it's mainly, if you look at it, it's volume, because we've not reduced our prices anywhere. Prices continue to remain stable or have started increasing, and we've not received most of the price increases. As I've said in my opening speech, I think we would start looking at price realizations over the next quarters.
Thank you. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Anshul Mittal from Care Portfolio Manager. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So actually, I wanted to know the cost breakup of the CapEx of 500 crores, which we have announced recently. So can you give the breakup between the building machinery and the land and plant?
See, on a 500 crore of CapEx, we would like to give a small approx breakup. Approx 250 crore is the Panchla. Approx 100 crore is the Amta.
Okay.
And the remaining is for the existing plant.
Okay. So Panchla and 100 crores, 250 plus 100 crores is for land and building?
No. In Panchla, put together machines, building, land, everything, approx 250 crore rupees. In Amta, it's including land, 100 crore rupees. And the remaining part is the existing plant. And out of this 500 crore rupees, we already incurred approx 250 crore rupees.
Okay. Okay. Understood, sir. And okay, sir. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rishab Parekh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rohan. Just a couple of questions. One was on revenue. So if you assume that 50 crores was COVID revenue for the full year, of which 65% was in H1, and you assume further that 60%, just hypothetically 60%, was in Q1, and 40% was in Q2, so that actually implies 30% base business growth. Is that accurate, broadly?
Absolutely. That's accurate. It's also on the basis of a very low base over the last 2 years because this portion of the industry was not fully functional due to COVID lockdowns and on-and-off waves of COVID. So it is on the basis of that, essentially, yeah.
So 30% growth in base business, assuming that the COVID revenue in the base year runs down by Q2. So H2, can we see 30% like-for-like growth?
It would be very difficult for me to make a statement for Q2, but looking at the market scenario moving forward for the 9 months, the demand outlook as well as the market looks quite strong and robust, minus the testing.
Minus the testing. And Q2 would still see some impact of the base quarter because of COVID, correct?
Absolutely. Because there was a large portion. If you look at last year, FY22, we went through very tough months, which started cooling off by around September of 2021. So if you look at post-November, right up to March, there was very little COVID impact as we are seeing what it is today. So most of the impact of COVID was faced in the first 6 months of last year.
So it's pretty healthy if you adjust for that, assuming a 30% base business growth. My second question is on margins. So just a little surprising because last in Q4, the call that we did, we took a price hike of 5%-7% of the domestic market from the 1st of April, which you said would get passed on in a phased manner, and 100% pass-through would happen on 1st of July. And this you had mentioned would take care of raw material increases and packaging cost increases. So is there a change to this thesis? Because I didn't expect such a contraction in margins.
No. I think the thesis remains the same, and there has been a major increase in input costs, basically because the environment has been so volatile, so uncertain, and it is very difficult for us as a company or anybody in the industry to continuously keep taking price increases. So things are moving so the things are so volatile. Every month, there is global uncertainty. So we have not been able to. We've given the price increases, but in the first quarter, we have not been able to extract the complete price increase because it takes time for the prices to come in. So a lot of the revenue in quarter one has been on older prices with increased price inputs. Also, there has been a lot of development in the company to build for the future. So we are building up two new facilities, and we've spent a lot on employee costs. We brought in new people. We brought in people in R&D. We brought in people in development. We brought in senior level production people in our current facilities, and we are training them up to handle our facilities, which are going to be coming up in the next 8 to 12 months. So there have been a lot of input costs in that way. The world has opened up over the last 6-7 months. We've increased our promotional exhibition activities in a big way. We've increased our distributor promotional activities in a very, very big way, because you're preparing to grow up in a big way with these two new facilities. So a lot of input costs have significantly gone up without revenue moving too much, and that is what's impacted the margins.
So just, you know, for the next 9 months, there'll be two triggers playing out. One is revenue growth will become normalized because the COVID effect will wane off, and second impact on revenue will be the price increases will come through. So revenue degrowth will not be as stark, and margins also should be maintained between 46%, 48%, 50%.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Rohan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nikhil Chaudhary from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. More or less, all my questions have been answered. Sir, just probably on the target that we had set for the financial year 24, we hope to achieve that if we don't go by quarter, like ignoring the base effects of COVID and all. So just wanted to understand on that front. That's it.
Absolutely. I think we are very well positioned to achieve what we've indicated earlier, and the company is moving towards its goals very, very strongly, and the forecast from the markets, the demand looks very strong, the industry looks very strong. Apart from the COVID testing, everything is in line.
Understood, sir. And sir, lastly, on the PCR and cell culture, I guess if we had started to probably test the products in the market, how has been the response so far on that front?
We received a very strong response for our PCR consumables. It's very well appreciated. Quality has been up to global standards. For cell culture, we are yet to produce the products because that capex would only enter into Pashla. We cannot conduct any of that capex in our existing facilities.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Wish you all the best for the coming years.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditi Bhattad from Niveshai Investments Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So majority of my questions have been answered, but I wanted to understand the industry point of view. Like with various government measures like single-use plastic ban, and I'm sure it doesn't really affect your product, but do you see any hindrances, you know, with all these policy measures to your line of industry or to your product directly or indirectly?
I think overall, we don't have anything, any of the policy measures really affecting us. One thing which really goes in our favor in India, and we are very, very bullish about this moving forward, that the government is very focused on a Make in India initiative, and a lot of these government bodies like CSIR and ICMR are very focused on buying more Make in India products, which are indigenously manufactured and developed within the country rather than more imported products. And that gives companies like us, which have been on the forefront of development since the last 3 decades, a very, very strong opportunity to grow forward.
Okay, so the plastic ban thing had no effect on your products or any of your raw materials?
No, absolutely not. We are in the business of medical labware, and we continue to use medical grade resin to use our products for testing and research.
Okay, I got it. So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Anika Mittal from Nvest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, can you please again explain the reason behind the seasonality in quarter one?
So historically, quarter one has always been the slowest out of all the four quarters. Generally, quarter four has been the strongest, primarily because most of the business, in India towards the year-end, distributors are always buying larger quantities to complete their targets. End users are buying larger quantities to complete their budgets. And hence, Q1 is the silent quarter or the slower quarter post a very, very strong quarter. So Q1 always comes after Q4. And Q2 and Q3 have always been somewhat similar quarters. It's very, very difficult to differentiate between the two. Some years Q2 has been stronger. Some years Q3 has been stronger because the years when our exports are going very well, Q3 tends out to be stronger because that becomes the Q4 for international markets or the closing quarter for international markets. But historically, Q1 has always been slower. Rate contracts take time to be signed off. Price revisions take time to be implemented. People are revising contracts. People are realigning their stocks. So most of the time just goes in realignment after a very, very strong previous quarter, which is Q4.
Okay. Understood, sir. And our pricing policy is to revise the prices for customers once in a year, as you mentioned in the earlier meeting. Like for domestic market, we revise them in April, and for international market, it is March. So my question is, with the current pricing policy, how are we going to pass on the input costs on the regular basis, as happened in this quarter where our margins got dipped by 6%? So what can be the methods to pass on these kind of cost increases on a regular basis because we are currently revising the pricing on a yearly basis?
So it's our policy to revise prices annually, but it's not necessary that we revise our prices annually. Prices are revised only based on certain increases in input costs. Otherwise, price increases are very, very negligible, lesser than 1%. We cannot have a policy to increase prices on a quarterly or a monthly basis because the industry would not accept such a price increase. So most of the times, we would have to increase prices annually only. And unless something drastic goes wrong throughout the year, and then we would have to call for a mid-year price increase. But that is very, very rare. And I have seen that once or twice in the last three decades of the history of the company. So there is no other option but to absorb price increases in the short and medium term and change prices only once a year and unless on an emergency, a mid-year price increase, but nothing more than that.
That is okay. But in this quarter, whatever is the inflation, whatever is the cost price, how we are going to pass on to the customer?
No, we have already included a lot of these input cost increases on our price increase on 1st of April, and that would take time to implement. And we believe that in the coming quarter and moving forward in the 9 months, the changes in price would be implemented.
Means whatever the cost increases in this quarter, we are going to get them from the customers in the coming quarter. That's what you are saying?
No. Whatever the cost increases were calculated at the beginning of the year, that we would start getting from this quarter onwards because we made a price change on 1st of April, not on 1st of July, not on the starting of this quarter, but the starting of the financial year.
That's what I'm saying. The cost increases, for example, happens in the current quarter. Like after April, whatever is the cost increase, how we can going to get that from the customer in our price?
We would have to absorb those costs. And generally, costs have remained flat from 1st of April. We've not seen a tremendous increase so far. But only if it is an abnormal increase, we would have to consider a mid-year price increase. But things are looking very, very stable and normal at this point of time, and there is no reason that we would be changing prices.
It means from your current increased prices, you are saying we can get those inflated prices, inflated costs from our customers on.
We believe so.
Okay. Right. Understood. And what is the expected growth in top line for upcoming three quarters, and how shall the operating margins are going to shape up going forward?
So I cannot give at this point of time a statement on a number towards the end of the year, but things look very, very good and strong. And in terms of operating margins, we look to be in the mid to late 40s. As I have stated earlier, our EBITDA should remain in range, and so should our gross margins. On the PAT level, it would depend based on the CapEx and the depreciation. PAT could move somewhere here and there, but for the operating and the gross margins, we should remain on line.
Okay. And what is the expected timeline for those additional capacities to come on production, and by when the ramp-up for these is likely to take place?
I think the additional capacity should be in place between June and August 2023, which is next year. Again, the markets are very volatile. In terms of construction of our facilities, we are right on track. But there have been global chip shortages, global semiconductor shortages, and various other ancillary part shortages, which also play a role in our building of our automations and other products such as molds. Stainless steel has been at an all-time high. So depends on the global environment, how the deliveries of our machineries and equipment would take place. But in terms of building our infrastructure, we are absolutely on time for both our facilities, that is Pashta and Andhra.
Say it is completed by August 2023, then how much time it going to take for ramp up?
We are coming up with large capacities, but I think about 3 to 4 years for complete 100% ramp up. Depending on the quality of products, what we build, depending on the market acceptance, depending on the markets, how they shape up over the next 3 to 4 years. So there are a lot of ancillary factors, but generally on the past history, what we see, 3 to 4 years to ramp up new products. The capacity expansions should be slightly faster for ramping up capacities.
Okay, understood, understood. And what is our current inventory days? Like there was a substantial increase in previous year. So what is the current level of inventory days? Yes, sir.
On the inventory front, currently we have about to be more than 90 to 95 crore of inventory, right? Raw material is about to be 30 crore odd, and finished goods is about to be 42 crore, and remaining are packing materials, work in progress, and others.
Sir, I am asking inventory days. How many inventories? Like in financial
inventory days.
Yeah.
Inventory days on a turnover front, you can say that we are keeping inventory of about to be 3 months.
3 months
right now. So that is very much required because we are manufacturing 1700 SKUs, split over 300 segments. So we need to keep this kind of inventory.
Going forward also you are saying it will be the 3 months only.
We will plan to reduce the inventory. That's our endeavor. But depends on what kind of sales we are doing because in consumables, reusable, many SKUs are there. Require different grade of raw materials, and we also have some kind of MOQ concept. So sometimes we receive order for a very lesser quantity, but we manufacture in batches. But we will try to reduce it.
It depends on the global forecast. There could be possibilities of slight reduction in inventory, but at this point of time, we need to keep a lot of safety stock of raw materials. Global environment is not very favorable at this point of time, and we are heavily reliant on our raw materials coming in from Europe to the US.
Understood. And the Carson is targeting the cell culture PCR bioprocess product side, which is approximately 600 crore market in India, and where players like Eppendorf, Thermo Fisher, Aika are already present. So as per our own statement, customers are quality conscious here. So do you think we as a new player will get the demand as the existing customer will not shift from their existing suppliers?
No, I think we relish the opportunity of serving customers who are quality conscious because that's what Carson stands for. So working in quality conscious high-end markets has always been far simpler for Tarsons rather than working in price sensitive areas. So we look forward to that opportunity by building good products.
That is okay, but are you sure the customers will shift from their existing suppliers to Tarsons?
That's what we have seen in the past, and I can only talk based on past data, how people have shifted from competitor companies to Tarsons in the past. We expect the same in the future.
And we also have a zero base level, so our growth momentum can be better.
Okay. And our capex plan was initially at 400 crore, and we said this shall inflate by 20 to 25%. Approximately, it should be 500 crore. And in earlier con calls, we said 190 crore was already incurred. So approximately 180 to 200 crore cash flow will be required over the period of next 15 months. And on 31st March 2022, your cash balance was, I think, somewhere around 80 crore. So balance from where we are looking to get?
From our various credit lines as well as internal approvals.
Okay, right. Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Keval Asher from DSP Investment Manager. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand one thing that Which are the specific products that you are replacing glassware and what are the applications for that?
We cannot hear you very well.
Yeah.
Your voice is not clear.
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. So wanted to understand which are the products in which you are replacing glassware and what are the specific applications for the products?
We are not replacing glassware in any products. Products such as volumetric ware, such as volumetric flasks, beakers, cylinders, as well as reagent bottles, where we have an alternative line compared to glass and plastics. I've said that before as well, that plastic has its own industry and own set of customers, and so does glass. So we're not going around replacing customers from glassware to plasticware. Glass would continue to serve its customers and we would continue as a plasticware company to serve our customers.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Rishabh Parekh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Just a couple of questions. One is, post our CAPEX, what is the depreciation likely to be?
So post our CAPEX, it depends on whether it move from, it will be there in the CWIP or it will move to the plant and machinery and it is put to use or not. For example, Panchla, we are planning to ramp up everything by mid of FY23, right? So at that moment, whatever things will come into put to use, we will start charging depreciation on that.
Correct. What was the quantum likely to be? It's a 500 crore capex. Useful life is, you assume, 15 years. Is that the right way to think about it?
Yeah, because we are using the reducing balance method, so you can calculate and assume approximately 18%.
So basically, Rishabh, it would be 200 crores for land and building. Okay. And other infrastructure and 300 crores for equipment, right? So I think different land and building would incur different depreciation. Correct. As compared to plant and machinery. So this would be the breakup.
And secondly, our 500 crore revenue guidance for FY25 still stands?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Yash Jain from Niveshaay. Please go ahead. Mr. Yash, please go ahead with your question.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Sir, your voice is not audible.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, now you are.
Yeah. So my question is related with PCR or cell culture products. Can you throw some light on the demand scenario for future on these products that you are catering?
Sure. So PCR products, the demand of PCR products pre-2022 was very, very strong and has been and has grown exponentially in the last 2 to 3 years because of the pandemic, because a lot of testing has been conducted through the RT-PCR technique and that has incurred a lot of sale of PCR plastics. But pre-pandemic as well, the demand was quite strong both in India as well as globally, and it's a product which we developed towards the end of the pandemic, and with a zero base, we have a long runway for growth in PCR products. And cell culture products, though had very limited usage in the pandemic, was slightly muted because the customers were in academia and pharma, and there was it was not functioning to its full potential during the pandemic. But pre-pandemic and now, the growth for cell culture consumables looks very, very robust, and starting from a base of zero, we are very, very confident of very, very strong growth in the cell culture consumable side as well.
Okay. So my next question is, can you throw some light that still we are importing plastic laboratory products, or we can enough for domestic requirement?
So there are enough domestic manufacturers, but quality parameters are very, very stringent. in the lab industry in India, and there are very strong multinational brands which have established a very strong customer. So eliminating imports completely would be close to impossible. I think the multinational brands have very various high quality products, many unique products which serve the life sciences industry, and they would continue to play an integral role in the Indian life science industry moving forward.
Okay. So can you tell us about the new products that you are launching or you are planning to launch in various segments?
So as I've said, we are launching more on the PCR and cell culture side, and that's all which I could speak at this point for comparative reasons. We can't go into more details of the products, but the markets would have these products as we move ahead in the next 8 to 12 months.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Anika Mittal from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. And what is, sir, my question is, what is the status of Jabalpur unit, where 1.99 crore land is to be approved by competent authority? Any development from Mr. Krishan Gopal Kedia, who was your consultant?
Sir, we almost completed all the capex in the Jabalpur facility. The Jabalpur facility is already operational. There is no space available. You are talking about conversion?
No, I'm talking about basically the approval from the competent authority, like conversion.
Sir, already we got the 40% approval, and the remaining approval is in process.
Is in process, and by when is it likely to be given? Is there any development from that side?
It's under the, you know, it depends on the government, so we cannot comment on that. Depends on when the government would give approvals. As I've said in my earlier calls, this approval process is not just related to our facility, but it's related to the entire park which is there, which includes more than 1,000 factories. So our approval has gone along with various other hundreds of factories, and it remains to see when the government would finally give the approval. But we cannot comment on the timeline because it would not be an accurate one.
Okay. And one more clarification, as you mentioned earlier, our FY25 top line target is 500 crore. And you're saying Patla facility will come into production by August FY23. So, and simultaneously you are saying it will take 3 to 4 years to ramp up. Then how is it possible that by FY25 we shall double our revenue?
We are already at 300 crores, so we're not actually doubling our revenue to 500 crores. And we are that in FY22. And we have enough capacities at this point of time to grow from this 300 crore base in our existing facilities, as we do a lot of capex in our existing facilities as well. And by ramping up, I mean reaching full potential or reaching closer to full potential, but that does not mean that we will have zero revenues in the first 1.5 years of Pashla being operational. Revenues will start coming in from day one, but ramping them up to full capacities would take our revenue beyond that number. But we will definitely have quite a lot of revenue coming in from both Pachla as well as Amta in the first 1.5 years of operation before FY25.
Okay, understood, sir. Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Praveen Sahai from Edelweiss Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question again. So it's related to the manpower investment, which you had said for the quarter has been increased because for future sales growth. So from where, like in the enhancement of the existing facility, you had taken an increase in the manpower, or it's more to do with the export?
No, it's a mix of everything. It is international markets, it is development and design, it's R&D. It's also grooming people for our new facility, because when we start our new facilities next year, we cannot go from 0 to 500 people in 1 month or 2 months. It would be a gradual process, and people would need to be trained beforehand who would be running our facilities in these two new facilities which are coming up. So it's quite a significant expansion, and it needs a lot of pre-planning, which we have been undertaking.
Okay. The next question is related to the export. Are you increasing the number of geographies in the export to drive the growth, or from the existing geography only you are getting a good traction?
So we are increasing the number of geographies as well, but the immediate or the short term or the short to medium term growth would come from the existing geographies because they would be the ones which have been present with us for various years, reaching inflection points where our brands or our OEMs are gaining traction after a few years of trust. And the newer geographies which we started introducing in the last year and this year would start showing traction more towards the 3-year, 4-year period after we have significant history with that partner or that market.
So, what's our guidance on the ODM and the branded number in the next, 2 to 3 years contribution?
I think it's very, very difficult to predict because we can predict our branded business because as we grow more countries, as we increase our penetration in existing countries, the branded business will steadily keep growing. But on the ODM number, it is based on contracts, right? So it could be a very sporadic growth, it could be flat, or it could be small growth for a few years, and then suddenly you have a few contracts signed, and that could be a big spike in growth. So predicting ODM growth would be quite difficult for us over the next 2 to 3 year period.
So basically, just to add on to this question, you are also trying for ODM sales to grow as a similar quantum what you are doing for a branded sales?
Absolutely. ODM business is a very rewarding business for us. We have been very successful in this, and we are very comfortable doing ODM business in international markets. It's a very important part of our international strategy, and we continue to focus very strongly on ODM business.
Great. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my questions. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Bobby J from Falcon Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Coming back to the COVID products, could you explain how do you differentiate that from the regular products? Because say if a customer buys a Petri dish or a pipette, how do you know whether that's for COVID or just for regular business?
So there are certain product lines where you see very high exaggerated growths where the market did not have that sort of a demand. So they seem more like one-time demand for testing. For example, pipette tips or centrifuge tubes or micro-centrifuge tubes or bottles coming in from particular distributors where the demand has suddenly, when things go suddenly down or suddenly up, you try and inquire through your people, through your distribution channels, and that's how you know that this is being used for particular projects or particular testing, which was not existent in the past and which will not be existent once COVID moves away, and that's what we are seeing today.
Yeah, but if I actually go through your transcripts for the past two calls, you don't mention
Right.
this at all there. You, in fact, downplay the effect of COVID. You say that
Absolutely.
You hadn't seen any supernatural growth because of COVID. That was your position then, but now you're suddenly saying that apparently COVID played a huge role. I don't get it.
No, COVID, there was a spike in revenue during COVID, during particular industry, which is a testing industry of the diagnostics. But what we said was that there's a spike in the COVID revenue, but the other revenue, there is a certain downplay in that revenue because these industries are not functioning to its full potential due to on and off lockdown. So that's what we've seen in this quarter. We've seen that COVID has trickled down to almost nothing, and most of our other industries, which were not performing very well, have started growing at a very, very strong level. And we expect the other part of the business, which was our complete business pre-COVID, to start growing to fuller, to better numbers and COVID to almost become zero, which it is today.
No, true. For this quarter, what I'm saying is in the earlier call, you said your major COVID growth was in FY21, and from FY22, that trickle, it became negligible, right? But now apparently.
In our calls, we always said that 30% of revenue in FY21 came from COVID, and 15% revenue in FY22 came from COVID, and we stick to that.
Well, the other thing is, from what I know, unless it's directly PCR products, which were very much driven by COVID, right? The other products is virtually impossible to say that they were COVID driven.
No, I don't agree. I think there are a lot of products. Filter kits has been the biggest COVID product, which is not a part of PCR.
Right, but pipette preps are what percent of your sales? You have like 1,700 SKUs, right?
Right.
So
I don't know. I do not have the exact. I do not have the exact percentage of what filter pipette tips was a part of our sales, but yes, filter pipette tips and PCR products have been a larger portion of our sales in Q1 FY22 as compared to Q1 FY23. We've seen a lowering of volumes in both filter pipette tips in a big way, as well as PCR products, and increase in volume of our conventional products which are not related to COVID.
Right. Okay. Now that since PCR products you agree were heavily driven by COVID, and now that driver is completely dissipated, correct? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
For PCR, yes. But then why are you starting on PCR products then? Why the, what is the rationale behind that you want to enter into it just when the excess demand is evaporating?
Because it's a more than a $500 million global market, and we have built a channel all across the globe as well as in India to tap very large opportunities. We started base zero because it's a less than a 12-month old product line for us, and we see significant growth potential over the next 4 to 5 years. So COVID is just a phase. Beyond COVID, there is a large market because PCR product line was not created for COVID. PCR product line was created to serve the life sciences industry, which is where it's a very critical product line. Today, there are companies which are built on PCR, which were built in the 80s and 90s all over the world, and they continue to do very, very well. They might see a slight slump because they had a large revenue in COVID, but that doesn't stop the PCR business from going anywhere. PCR business is a very, very strong business moving forward, not only in India, but all over the world.
And just to add, we started the PCR CapEx in 2019 and COVID came in 2020.
Yeah, so the idea of PCR was not to build for COVID demand. It was to build our product line and product base and move forward.
Okay, but anyway, the excess demand is gone. Okay, I take that point. But now that you said, was FY22 Q2, did that have any COVID demand?
Could you repeat that, please?
FY22 Q2, did that see excess COVID demand or was it negligible?
Yes, I said that earlier as well. Out of the 45 to 50 crores of COVID, I think 65% came in the first half of FY22, and I believe about it was either 50-50, 60-40 from Q1 and Q2. So the major 65% was in the first 6 months of FY22.
So next quarter will again see a high comparison.
There would be a portion of COVID which would not be existent unless we have another wave or unless testing dramatically increases in the next 2 months.
Right. So the comparison will be with a higher COVID period even for the next one.
Absolutely.
Right. So, well, okay. And the other part, you say your import prices have increased for the three inputs. Could you specifically say what inputs? What resins are these?
No, it's comparative in nature, and we can only talk about plastic resins. We can't go into details on what resins we import from where and what input prices have been increased.
You did mention in one of your calls that these resins are not purely driven by crude oil prices, right? They have their own supply demand back. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's right.
So the supply demand, right. So you don't know when they would taper down because crude has already come down a lot.
So it's not dependent on crude, number one. Number two, they're all coming in from Europe and some are coming in from the US. I don't think it's the most ideal environment at this moment to produce in Europe. Europe is going through its own set of challenges and cost increases and price hikes. They're struggling to maintain cost, and that's what's falling on us because we are buyers from there.
All our peers in India, they also import this resin from Europe.
I'm not sure because I don't have access to where they import, where my competition is importing from.
No, what I mean is that this is only there, right, in Europe and US. You don't have domestic sources for this.
Not for light resins, and not for resins what are approved by our quality management. So we have certain benchmarks with which we manufacture products. Such resins are not present to maintain those benchmarks.
Right. So you're all on the same base, really, with the peers. Because there are no substitutes. You can't use normal resins for this. They have to be medical grade.
I would, there are normal resins available and you can manufacture and mold plasticware, labware, but the industry which we cater to, the customer base, what we cater to, we will not be able to, you know, cater to that customer base with using local resins.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Sehgal for closing comments.
I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. We will keep updating the investor community on a regular basis for incremental updates on your company. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us or Strategic Growth Advisors or Investor Relations Advisors. Request all of you to be safe under the given circumstances. Thank you once again. Stay safe.
Thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.